بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه أبي القاسم محمد
الله صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى يوم الدين. I want to thank you all for being here, for giving me the opportunity to share my happiness on this beautiful occasion at a time when the clouds of fitna, the clouds of sheer phobia, the obfuscation of people's vision and their ability to see the truth by the unfaithful and unfair media. I'm very glad for us of like minds to find each other on this illustrious occasion commemorating the birth of our great living leader, Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalala ta'ala farju sharif. I have a short time, but after the previous speaker, Brother Ihsan, I could only give maybe a tafsir or a sharh of what he said. It was so beautiful. I was asked to speak here about political reform. And I want to start by talking about a principle in religion we call the principle of correspondences, the principle of correspondence. And this is reflected in a verse of the Holy Quran where it says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Allah says, soon we shall show them our signs in the horizon, in the horizons and in their souls until it becomes clear to them that He is the real, He is the haq. What Allah is talking about here is that there are two sets of signs. The signs in the horizons, meaning the signs that are outward, the signs that we see in our environment, the signs that we see in historical occurrences. All of these signs that point to Him, that He is the truth. And then there is the other set of signs, which are the inward signs, which are a reflection of the outward signs that we find in ourselves. An example of this is where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, don't think of yourself as just a mere human being. Indeed, you are a cosmos. Indeed, you are a universe. And Islamic cosmology and Islamic anthropology talk about this, that the human being is a reflection of the entire creation of Allah, from the lowest level to the heavens. And because of this, we can find Allah. Because what is creation but Allah's self-expression? Or as William Chittick would entitle it, the self-disclosure of God. There's a hadith where Allah says, I was a hidden treasure and I loved to be known. So I created mankind and I created creation in order to be known. All creation is nothing but the signs of Allah, the manifestation, the outward manifestation of the names of Allah. And this is why we say, we have Imam Ali alayhi salam saying, Man arafa nafsahu, arafa rabbahu. He who knows himself, knows his Lord. Again, we find an intimation of this in the other ayah that says, لَكَدْ كَانَ لَهُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, In the Prophet of Allah, you would find a beautiful exemplar or example. What does it mean? Islam does not just bring you here or bring you into Islam in order to realize the beauty and the exaltedness of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi and the Imams alayhim salam. It is also here to teach us how to be like him. Because if they are unapproachable, if they are something that we could hold high but not have any hope to approach, there is no meaning in religion. Indeed, he made his mi'raj and he said that the mi'raj of the Muslim is in Salah. So we too could traverse the heavens and we too can see the reality. And all of these point to correspondences. To be a good Muslim means to find that prophethood or that prophet-like self in oneself. To be a good Muslim is to recognize the signs of Allah in himself. These signs, especially with respect to Islamic history or spiritual history, on one level, they are outward manifestations of occurrences in time and place. On another level, they are occurrences, tendencies in the soul. So we have to look at what is outward and find ourselves in that outward thing. Find what that outward thing represents in ourselves. And this is what is the secret behind the statement, everywhere is Karbala and every day is Ashura. That when we look at it that way, we are looking at ourselves on that plane of confrontation between good and evil. And from learning from the outward manifestations, we are able to identify the forces that are up against us and the forces whose side we on. When we look at the signs of the zuhur of the imam, for example, we have to take this particular approach. It is not only something that is happening in the history to come, or the history that has come upon us, but it is also something that is happening within our souls itself. So Gog and Magog, for example, described as creatures who break down the barrier and overrun the earth and eat all the fruits and drink all the seas. What is it talking about? It is talking about the hordes, the animalistic aspect of the nafs, breaking down either religion or the culture of religion and being rapacious and denuding the soul and making the soul desolate. And it is only when we defeat that Gog and Magog can the soul see fruition, can the soul see light. When we are talking about the Dajjal is the epitome of the subversion of religion. The Dajjal will not come as someone outwardly anti-religion. He will come and appear as someone who is the epitome of religion. But his religion would be an inverse religion. His religion would be a religion that is leading you towards nafsani types of things and not liberation of your soul. A very accurate depiction of the Dajjal among Christians is what they call him the Antichrist. He is not just against Christ. He's like a negative inversion, a negative reflection of Christ. And it is very interesting that in Islam, Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his return, gives Hazrat Isa the power or the responsibility to kill the Dajjal. This Dajjal we find in ourselves. This Dajjal is that aspect of our Islamicity where we try to Islamize those very beliefs, those very values that are inimical to Islam. So you would find some Muslims walking around, say, for example, doing something wrong, and they say to you, well, it's not in the Quran, so I can do so and so. Or they would tell you, for example, who are you to judge? Only Allah is the judge. to excuse their behavior, or to try to integrate into Islam those gods of the modern world, those gods of the modern world that people are laboring so much under. What are those gods of the modern world? What are those gods that make these people so faithful to? These gods of the modern world are things like progressism. You can't find this in the dictionary. There's no such word. Because progressism is an ideology. And anytime it's attached to something else, it makes that thing an ideology. Progressism. Progressism is the idea that people today are more advanced than people yesterday. And they look at this purely in terms of their own particular technological advancements and the outward grandiosity of the society in which they live. And so therefore religion, which came 1,400 years ago, is backward and therefore should not be followed. This is progressivism. And so you would have Muslims, for example, talking about, let's say, the modern technology and modern science, as we are experiencing today, is something that is completely against the environment, something that is completely against humanity. It is only a science that is developed for a temporary type of comfort, but not for the intellectual growth and development of human beings when it comes to coming close to Allah. And so they would look at Muslims in the past, they would look at Islam and say, because Islam is in the past, we don't need it today. And so Muslims would be trying to make this type of science, this type of ungodly science, something Islamic by saying, well, they learned mathematics from the Muslims and they learned chemistry from the Muslims, etc., etc. Far away from the truth. This is a type of Dajjali type of idea. Or the idea of, for example, questioning Islam and saying, well, Islam doesn't say anything about, let's say, directly about homosexuality, for example, and saying it's all right, and modifying Islam to fit their own nafs. And today we have masajid and groups of Muslims in the West who actually create jama'at, create congregations that support these types of activity. This is a representation of the Dajjali aspect of the soul. What is Imam Mahdi? Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his return, on the inward aspect of the self, is that power that is created from the destruction of the Dajjal in ourselves, and in the process of coming forward gives us the strength to continue defeating the forces of evil in the soul. And a point is reached after we have arrived at a certain level of success. We have a soul, as the brother had mentioned, full of light. We would have a soul at that point where the sun rises in the west. Why is the sun rising in the west? Because the east is commonly thought about as a place where the sun originates, where light comes from. The east is always the place of Irfan, of spirituality. The west, the Occident, or the Occident, is the place of darkness. When the sun rises in the west, it means that the whole soul, there is no dark area in the soul. Very interestingly, I wouldn't mention his name, but a great sheikh, contemporary sheikh in Iran, had an opportunity to visit the United States of America. And out of that visit, he said, now I know, on a historical level, what it means by the sun rising in the west. He said, because the Muslims that he had met in the west are Muslims who had a certain profound understanding of the nature of the modern world, that truly it was an enlightening type of experience. One of his close students told this to me, and because this man has never proclaimed it, I would not mention his name. So we Muslims in the West are actually in a very favored position. In the very troubles that we have, in the very alien society that we live, we gain an intimate understanding of the contemporary Dajjal, of contemporary misguidance and being lost. Now, why do I mention these things in terms of political reform? Because first of all, you cannot have political reform without internal reform. You can't have political reform without internal reform. You can't have political reform without manifesting in yourself the changes you want to make in the outside world. The other thing is that you cannot have political reform in a Mahdawi way unless you take it upon yourself to be Mahdi-like, which means that we have to strive to create justice in this world. And in trying to create justice in this world, we will be preparing ourselves both internally and externally for the coming of the Imam. This political reform is much more likely in the East than in the West. Because in the East you have more Muslims, and more Muslims now are suffering under all of the ills and sins that we find that in the society that we live. In this society, we have to understand what politics means. Politics is defined as the art of holding power in your society. The art of maintaining and holding power in your society. And we have to ask ourselves, who has power over us in our society? Is it a Mahdi-like person or system, or is it not? And therefore, we have to create that political reality in our society. Politics is also defined as the ability to socially influence the decisions and actions of other societies and of others. We ask ourselves, how can we influence this society? How can we influence others in this society? When we look at it this way, we will start to find our way. We will start to begin from the personal, then we move to the level of the community, the Muslim community, and then we move to the level of the wider society. And sometimes it is not a sequential type of thing. Sometimes it is quite a simultaneous type of thing. Inshallah, hopefully maybe in the question and answer period, we will talk some more about this particular issue. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.